This is podcast number 32 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. I'm Marlene Peterson, and today I'm sharing some thoughts on the art of Christmas. My daughter's a Relief Society president. For those of you who may not be familiar with that, Relief Society is the women's organization of the church I belong to. A couple of weeks ago, it was her turn to teach the Sunday lesson to the ladies, and she decided that she wanted to help them feel the glow of the Christmas spirit. She wanted them to feel it the second they walked into the room. So the plan was to set up a small Christmas tree covered with lights. There was going to be beautiful Christmas music playing in the background and a plate of warm cookies and milk on the table to greet them. Then she was going to read them parts of a Santa Claus story that actually tied in perfectly with Christ, and then close by reading a poem followed by playing a recording of the spirit of the poem set to music. She pictured the room filled with that wonderful, magical Christmas spirit. Well, she got to the church early to set up the room, got the lights on the tree, plugged it in, and found out the lights didn't work. Then she started pouring glasses of milk to go with the cookies, and another woman who was in the room said, did you remember today is Fast Sunday? For those of you who aren't familiar with this practice, we go without eating the first Sunday of each month and then donate the money we would have spent on food to those in need. Okay, scrap the milk and cookies. So she went to pull out her phone so that she could at least have some music playing and realized she had left her phone at home, which meant she wouldn't have the closing song she had planned either. It was time to start, so she asked someone if they would look for the song on their phone so she would at least have that at the end of her lesson. She said, although they were surprised at first to hear a story about Santa Claus at church, it ended up being a nice discussion. When the time was up, she set up the beautiful song they would end their meeting with by first reciting the Christina Rossetti poem. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. But what can I give him? I will give him my heart. Cue the song. It was the wrong one. Instead, they listened to Sissel sing an upbeat song in Norwegian about the winter solstice. My daughter and I laughed as she told me about her disaster, but I thought that pretty much sums up me at Christmas time. Every year, I anticipate creating this magical glow of Christmas I read about in magazines or see in movies, and somehow it never goes according to my plans. It's taken me a lot of years to make peace with Christmas. Christmas is so magical in childhood, isn't it? Oh, how I loved Christmas as a child. I loved the music and the sparkly tree. We had one of those aluminum trees with the color wheel that would go round and round, and I'd lie beneath it watching the colors change. I loved the lights and the whole feeling of the season. My brothers teased me less, it seemed, and were much nicer to me. But it was Christmas morning I could barely wait for. I could never sleep on Christmas Eve. I'd call out every few minutes to my parents or go in my brother's rooms and whisper, "Is it morning yet? Is it morning yet?" My parents had this Santa custom that all the presents were placed under the tree in the night, so we never knew how many presents would be there until we woke up on Christmas morning. And it never disappointed. All night, I'd play out the scenes of presents spilling out all over the room, wondering if they could top the year before, and my brother saying, "Wow, Marlene, this big one is for you," and I'd rip it open. What could it be? I could scarcely contain the excitement and anticipation. So when we started having children after I was married, I wanted to give them the same excitement of Christmas morning I had as a child. Only we had some pretty lean years, and we had a lot of children. Christmas soon became my most dreaded time of the year, as that knot would grow in my stomach, that we didn't have a way to give them Christmas, at least the Christmas as I envisioned it to be. There were several Christmases I locked myself in a room to at least try and make them some presents so they would have something to open on Christmas morning. I'd finally drop into bed at 4:30 or 5 Christmas morning, presents finally finished and wrapped, and I could hardly wait for the day after Christmas when I could pull down the tree and put Christmas behind me for another year. One Christmas was the year of the Cabbage Patch doll. Every little girl wanted a Cabbage Patch doll. Even if we could have afforded them, which we couldn't, they were hard to come by. People paid ridiculous prices so their little girls wouldn't be disappointed Christmas morning. I didn't want to disappoint my little girls, so I learned how to make them, and I spent the month of December sewing and stuffing little bodies and painting faces and making yarn hair late into the night. My mother helped by sewing lots of little dresses and little bags to hold them in. I don't remember much about that Christmas morning except that one of my daughters threw hers across the room because her doll had brown hair, not yellow, and she hated it. She tells me now that she feels really badly about that and she loves her doll. Funny thing, nearly all the other presents they were given over the years have long gone to landfills or thrift stores, including the store-bought Cabbage Patch dolls that came later. But they have all kept their homemade Cabbage Patch dolls. Even when money was no object and we could have given our kids anything they wanted, that knot in my stomach was still there because I was afraid the presents I bought would be disappointing and they would miss that magic of Christmas morning of my childhood. Even on those Christmases when the presents were piled high and filled the room, after all the paper was ripped off, there was always, always a hollowness in my heart. The presents themselves never satisfied, even if everybody got everything they asked for. I remember one Christmas when all the presents were handed out, and there wasn't a single present under the tree for me. And I felt guilty that I hurt. Mothers are supposed to give and give, aren't we, and not expect anything in return? It wasn't that I needed anything or wanted anything especially. It just hurt. I think my kids were all so busy with the fun of the morning that they didn't notice me fighting back the tears that I couldn't quite explain, but that flowed freely. So I stuffed the garbage bags with the wrappings and went to the kitchen to start cooking Christmas dinner. Reflecting in a more mature mind now, I've thought maybe that's a little taste of what our Lord feels on the day that is meant to be the celebration of His birth. He doesn't need us to give Him anything. Yet there's something about being remembered that matters. When my husband and I became empty nesters and spent our first Christmas in a home away from family, I didn't put up any Christmas decorations. I think I may have put the nativity set up that year, but that was all. I actually started to hate Christmas. That was the year the thought hit me. You know, Christmas isn't a commandment. It's not a sin to not celebrate Christmas. Like I said, it has taken me a lot of years to make peace with Christmas and to love it again. And I do love Christmas now. The lessons I am learning apply to what we're talking about here at the Well-Educated Heart about learning and education. So let me share a few insights that have helped, although you may all have perfect Christmases and can't imagine what I'm talking about. My daughter and her husband took a little trip this last week, and I agreed to watch my little 4-year-old granddaughter. She asked if she could watch something on my husband's iPad, and I couldn't believe what held her attention. They were stupid little videos of people opening presents. That's it. There were mermaids that would swim and find a present and open it, and children that would open presents, and even adults opening presents. She was mesmerized and would have watched it all night long if we had let her and never lost interest. And then it struck me. We have built an entire holiday around this basic human desire to unwrap a present and see what's inside. And no matter how many presents are under the tree, when a child unwraps the last one, he looks around for just one more. Usually, no matter what's inside, even if it's something he has really wanted, he's on to the next one. Oh, the anticipation of what's inside. And we parents live for the moment of watching their reactions when the gift is open. Parents stand in long lines in the middle of the night on Black Friday just in anticipation of watching the present be unwrapped on Christmas morning, not unlike my little 4-year-old granddaughter watching those silly videos. The whole frenzy of the Christmas season revolves around the thrill of that moment of unwrapping the present. And then there's that nagging doubt. What if they hate the presents? What if we have failed to satisfy that longing for something and ruin their Christmas? Think about it. When we say a family won't have Christmas, what we are saying is they won't have the thrill of that moment when their children unwrap a present. So we collect toys for tots and set up angel trees in churches and stores for that single moment of the thrill. And come the morning after Christmas, the stores will open to the long, long lines of people returning those gifts, and Christmas will disappear almost overnight. That thrill is momentary. It has no lasting effect. If Christmas revolves around that moment, it can never satisfy. There's an inscription in the stone entryway of Chicago's Fine Art Building that says, "All passes. Art alone endures." I've been thinking about that phrase as it relates to Christmas time, and the thought hit me, as I look at Christmas's past and Christmas present, everything that I love about Christmas the most is tied to art. The beautiful Christmas music, the heartwarming stories, the glow of candles and the colorful lights, the Christmas scenes, the smells of cinnamon and baked goods, the memories of experiences together. Yet I somehow allowed the Christmas morning event to take over the season. I've even taken a closer look at the art of gift giving. A whole stack of stuff doesn't compare with the one single gift that connects to a desire of the receiver and is the expression of the thoughtfulness of the giver. We may use the gifts of the Magi as our excuse for giving gifts, but I've thought how practical and needed those gifts of the Magi were. Joseph, Mary, and the babe were about to become refugees in a strange land. Joseph was a carpenter. I doubt he was a wealthy man. How would they survive in this foreign land? Well, enter the gifts of the Magi. I think they were inspired to bring the gifts. I'm still working on that one, the art of giving and receiving gifts. But I think I'm realizing what I've gotten wrong. As I take the time to enjoy the season as a whole and savor each moment and not allow the Christmas morning event to be the crowning moment, the knot in my stomach is gone, and I love Christmas. And the spirit of the arts of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, of peace on earth, goodwill toward men, stay with me and are renewed in different forms all through the year. These same lessons apply to the learning going on in your home. The instinct of anticipation isn't a bad thing. It's the same thing that makes us hold on to a story. We want to know what happens. It's the anticipation of the unknown. That anticipation drives us to learn something new, to unwrap some new piece of knowledge or understanding or insight. But if the learning is all geared towards the one culminating event, receiving the college acceptance letter, opening the report card and seeing the A, or seeing the high test score get posted, when it's over, it will feel hollow. The learning with staying power and deep satisfaction is the learning that happens all along the way. There is no final destination. It will go on into the eternities with different shapes and forms. The mother that takes on the responsibility of making the learning magic for her children will burn herself out. All the fancy programs and visual aids and learning materials we think we need to spend money on, we really don't need them. The lasting kind of learning is within the child and can only be appreciated and created by him and is connected to music, pictures, poetry, and story in a heart-to-heart learning environment. Simple really is best. The learning that they'll hold on to that will have the greatest meaning is that which connects to the desires of their hearts, which is the secret behind good gift giving. Which is why we spend so much time learning about how to awaken those desires in our children. So, I wish you a happy and joyous Christmas season, whether there are a million presents piled under the tree or no presents. May it be filled with warm memories of love and music and joy, of savored moments of togetherness. I'll close now with a favorite Christmas poem I found some years ago, written by Deborah Crivelli. The rush of Christmas traffic blurs the days that we prepare to celebrate the birthday of a babe so sweet and fair. In all the rush, did we neglect a place for Christ to stay? A tiny manger in our hearts where he may spend each day? for once within, His presence grows. The love that will unfold will be enough to reach and warm a world confused and cold. Bye-bye. See you next time.